for the flag.
I won't ask the flag.
I'll ask nothing more.
Back where it belongs.
Back where it belongs, right. They should have had the whole red team up here doing that.
Hey, man.
That awesome, actions. Sweet. Thank you. Thank you for having us here today. Trust the morning messages were an encouragement to you. May God use it in a mighty way. Speaking of faces, and we looked at that with Jeremiah, I could see faces as I was looking out. God is dealing with hearts here through this weekend. I just challenge you, by the end of this weekend, you make your decisions that God is burdening you and convicting you. If you don't move, you have to understand this. With every single preaching message that there is, God is hardening your heart. As soon as you walk out from here, the devil's going to snatch that seat away. If you don't move on the conviction that God has on your heart, at the moment God has it on your heart, you're not guaranteed that you're going to have to come back around. Move on it when God does, when God and the Spirit of God touches your heart. This morning, of course, we're starting off in Jeremiah 15:16, where it says, Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. And I'm working on three different messages out of this verse here. And this morning, we took the very last phrase in this verse in the morning message. I don't remember if I gave you the title this morning. But it is, rejoice at thy word. To rejoice at thy word, we need to seek after God's will. And as we looked at that, we went to Romans chapter number 12 and saw three important things for us to be in that perfect will of God, or to be seeking after that perfect will of God. I trust that the challenge this morning, there is no doubt whatsoever that you know your desire and you know the will of God. The perfect will of God sitting down here. But you've got a will right here. You've got steps that you need to be taken to get to that perfect will of God. You're going to stand before God without excuse. Without excuse. You are where you should have been, where you were supposed to be. Right here today and at the moment, not only of salvation, but all the way through your sanctification. We are elect. We believe in election in the Word of God. But according to Romans chapter number 8, our election is into the image of Christ. Walking down through the life of Christ as a born-again believer. That's our sanctification, not our salvation. So you're going to stand without excuse if you're not doing the will of God in your life. And the three points we had this morning, as a reminder, in case any quizzes pop up, from Romans 12 and verse number 3, first we have to set aside ourselves, which is our pride. The second thing, we have to submit to our church membership in Romans 12, verse 4 and 5. And the third one, we have to seek after God's will. And have that grace of God to fuel that measure of faith that we need to be able to see the will of God. Once you see the will of God and you know it by your desire, you've got to act upon that. We need the grace of God. That's the fuel to get out and get the grace going to where God would have us to be at. So seek after the will of God. And that was Romans 12, verse 6 and verse 7. This evening, the second message in Jeremiah 15:16, I'm going to take the first phrase where it says, thy words were found and I did eat them. The title of the message tonight will be to rejoice in thy word, search into God's word. We've got it in our hands. Obviously, you have it in your heart. The Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you've got the word of God, but what are you doing with it? We hold it in our hand right here, and I have absolutely no doubt the moment you were born again, you had that burning desire to be in the word of God. Well, now we have to be in it. We have to be, if we want to be rejoicing, we have to be seeking into the Word of God. So this morning, this evening, we're going to end up in Joshua chapter number 23. And we're going to have three things we're going to look at out of Joshua 23, verse 6 through 11. Three choices that we have to make concerning the Word of God if we're going to be able to rejoice in the Word of God. Jeremiah's call came first, and that's why we looked at the call this morning, the last part of Jeremiah 15:16. But in order to get into that call, in order for you to get to that perfect will of God, you've got to be preparing, which means you've got to be in the Word of God. You've got to be seeking into the Word of God. Because Jeremiah answered the call of God. He followed the will of God. He trusted the Word of God. He was able to rejoice in the Word of God. And I want us to be there when we leave from this camp. As we look into Joshua 23, verse 6 through 11, we'll see three choices that we must make concerning thy words. Thy words. To be in the will of God, but also to enable us to be able to rejoice in the Word of God. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 23, and we'll open up in a word of prayer. Joshua chapter number 23. And I'll have you turn to a few different verses as we go through. But three simple points we're going to have this evening. But let's open in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your word. And Lord, preaching the message, Lord, and preaching the word of God. We see the faces. We see the conviction of the Spirit of God. Lord, this morning I saw the conviction on hearts here. I pray, Lord, by the end of this service, by the end of this camp, that those that have been burdened, those that have been convicted by the word of God, that they would move upon that and be where you would have them to be. Lord, as we look this morning as working in the gifts that you have for us, that they don't have the grace, we don't have the grace needed to fuel a gift that we're not gifted with. Lord, that you would open up our eyes, open up hearts, if we're working in the wrong gift, to put us in the right place, or if we're not working in our gift, that you would get us to where we need to be. Tonight, Lord, as we look at three things on how to seek into the Word of God, I pray that all of us can walk out of here a stronger believer, a closer unto you, a stronger Christian, Lord, as we learn to dig into the Word of God, trust in the power of the Word of God. And we pray through it all, Lord, that you get all the honor and all the glory. In your precious name we pray. Amen. 3 points. Go right into it. Joshua chapter 23 and verse number 6. The first point, the first choice that we have to make, we have to choose to study the Word of God. We have to choose to study the Word of God. We all know the command in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. It tells us to study to show thyself approved. And Joshua now, Joshua chapter number 23, Joshua is given basically two last sermons of encouragement to the children of Israel, reminding them of their duty towards God, but also that they would be exhorted to be faithful to step into the Word of God, into the call of God, and do what they must do as they serve God Almighty. In Joshua 23 and verse 6, it says, "Be ye therefore very courageous," not just a little courageous. We need great courage as we stand before a lost and dying world. We know God is there to strengthen us and to give us the strength to be courageous, but we must be very courageous for two things: to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Every believer, every born-again believer, we're all called to study the Word of God. And if we step into that call to the word, study the Word of God, we are stepping into that place where we can rejoice into the Word of God. In chapter number 23 and verse number 6, that word keep. That word keep literally means to study. It means, it's a Hebrew word, means to observe. And as we observe, it's an observance in studying the Word of God. As I go through the New Testament, I just quoted 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Doing a word study, and if you've never done a word study before, a word study in the Word of God is not to just search in the English of that word study. It's to look at the underlying language underneath and look at every place that word for study is used. So we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. I'll give you 1, 2, 3, 4 places that word study is used in the New Testament. And as we see each place that it's used, we're going to see something about that word study that we need to be using in our lives. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." I'm not going to explain the context of Hebrews 4, verse 11, but look at the one word, the word labor. That word labor is the same Greek word for study. That word study now in Hebrews 4 and verse 11, "Let us labor," that's telling us that studying is labor. Studying is work. Has anyone ever sat down to study in school? Is it labor? Law student? Is it labor to study? That's what the word study is all about. And that's revealed here in Hebrews 4 verse 11. In 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 15. 2 Peter 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, "I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." The word study right here is the word endeavor. The word endeavor. So in Hebrews 4:11, it's labor. We all know that studying is a labor, work of labor. Well, here in 2 Peter 1 and verse 15, the same exact word is the word endeavor. That word endeavor means to labor with attempt to gain. We only study because we want to gain something. And let me use a law degree again. You're laboring because you want to become a what? A lawyer. You want to have a law degree. There's a great gain that's going to come at the end of the path if you're studying along the way. If you're not laboring, if you're not studying, you'll never get that law degree. If we're not laboring and we're not studying the Word of God, we'll never reach that point of being able to rejoice in the Word of God. The next one is in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 10. 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. It says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." The word right here, same Greek word, is the word diligence. Labor is diligence. Endeavoring is diligence. And this shows us that our study of the Word of God needs to be a diligent effort. That word diligent means a constant effort to accomplish. Same thing as what endeavor does, to labor to get gain. Now we have to be diligent in our studies of the Word of God. And it takes great diligence to get in. Studying the Word of God is not simply opening up the Bible and reading the Bible. It's not simply doing a word search through the English. It's digging into the Word of God. Getting alongside your dictionary, alongside your Strong's, your Webster's 1828, using the Word of God, and understand this, the Word of God is the best dictionary and the best commentary on the Word of God.
Yep.
Right now, as I'm going through this word study, we're only looking at the Word of God. We're not even stepping outside of it to a lexicon. I haven't opened up the Webster's 1828. We simply use the Word of God to be our dictionary. And we're seeing that word study means labor. The word study means endeavor. The word study means to be diligent. Look in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 10. Galatians 2 and verse number 10. It says, "Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do." That word forward is the word study again. The word forward means to be strongly inclined. You know what that means? We need to be digging in and strongly inclined. And that means we have to be ready to study the Word of God. The number one time you need to be ready to study the Word of God is after the preaching message. You should be taking the message that your preacher gives to you, the message that I'm preaching tonight, the message Brother Williams is going to preach. You should be taking that home and challenging what we preach. Study what we preach. It's not something that you need to be passive about here in the preaching message. You need to become active with the Word of God. That's what this word forward is all about. When we study the Word of God, putting all of these definitions together, and going back to Joshua 23 and verse number 6, he says, "Be ye therefore courageous to keep, or to study, or to labor, to endeavor, to be diligent, to be forward." But why do we do this? So that we can do all that is written in the book. Why are you ever going to do what the book says if you're not diligently studying it? Being a passive listener to the preaching of the Word of God is not study. Being a passive listener inside of Sunday school, that is not study. Study is doing one thing you're doing tonight, memorizing the Word of God. As you guys are getting all of these points for memorizing the Word of God, you're hiding God's Word in your heart. Now you have planted a supernatural seed within you. The Spirit of God can use that. We hide His Word in our heart that we might not sin against Him. He is going to use that in a great and mighty way. As you listen to the preaching of the Word of God, you now become an active participant in the preaching when you go home. When you open up your notes, when you open up the Word of God, and you get forward with the message that God has given to us. If we are going to do, from Joshua 23 and verse number 6, if we are going to do, it requires labor, it requires endeavoring, it requires diligence, and it requires us to be forward into the Word of God, ready, willing, and strongly inclined to dig into the Word of God. Effective studying of the Word of God takes much labor. A lot of labor. Studying for school takes a lot of labor. Elizabeth, having a good time. She's having a blast out in Arizona right now. She's getting through her space physics. She wants to be an astronaut. Who would ever have thought? What a desire. And look where she's headed now. She's going to be heading into something with geology to add to the space science. But it's a lot of endeavor. It's a lot of labor. Dean's list all the way through, working hard to be there. And same thing, you're working hard to be there. All of this being, as far as an education, our college degree, as far as us being in university, you know that takes a lot of effort. But what happens to the house of God? What happens to the Word of God? We leave it in the schoolhouse. We leave all of our endeavoring out there in the world. We lead the endeavoring in university. We lead the endeavoring in the schoolhouse, in the high school. When we come into the Word House of God, we just want the preacher to fill us passively with all that you can dump on me. But you're not going to get what God has for you. You're not going to rejoice in the Word of God until you are being an active participant in the studying of the Word of God. That's what Joshua, he's given that challenge. Joshua's ready to die. He's ready to move on. He says in Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15, he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." If you're not going to be an active participant in studying the Word of God, then choose what you're going to be active in, but do something for God Almighty. Get into the Word of God and be where God would have you to be. "Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We will study the Word of God. We will be an active participant in our house. We will labor. We will endeavor. We will be diligent. We will be forward as we dig into the Word of God. Not a passive participant in the preaching of the Word of God. Not passively coming to camp just to enjoy the events out there. But to actively get involved in the Word of God and studying the Word of God. You know what our number one problem is? I mentioned our number one problem this morning. Hold on a second. This thing is getting warm in my pocket. I had it on and didn't know. The number one problem we have today is we are our own worst enemy. We are the worst enemy to ourselves. And our number one problem when it comes to our studying is our flesh refuses to labor. Our flesh doesn't want to work.
Yep.
Our flesh doesn't want to do a 40-hour work week anymore. Our flesh, when we get to work, we don't want to do an 8-hour day anymore. When we have to endeavor to do something, we have to be diligent to do something, whatever it is out in life, our worst enemy is ourselves. Our flesh just doesn't want to do it. And that is a problem when it comes to the studying of the Word of God. We have to choose, consciously choose to study the Word of God.
Yeah.
Now, why do we do this? Why do we have to choose? Why do we have to turn to the Word of God and study it? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. God's greatest blessings come to us through His Word. Through His Word. You want to rejoice in the Word? You've got to study it. It's not going to just happen. It's not going to passively fall upon you and you will rejoice in it. You've got to be actively involved in the Word of God. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 32. It says, Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways of which the Lord your God hath commanded you. And that's from the Word of God. And here is why. That ye may live. That ye may, and that it may be well with you. And that ye may prolong your days. Ye may live. Man fights today. Man fights on a daily basis to extend his life, doesn't he? We've got the answer right here. The answer is to be in the Word of God. God promises us life in this present world if we would live for Him in His perfect Word today. And then it says that ye may prolong your days. Man reaches out to everything they can. Technology, meds, therapy. And we should. We can praise God for all that God has blessed us with today, that we can live an extended life today. But man reaches out to all of these and ignores God. God says that if you want these things, you want your days to be prolonged, be in this right here.
Yep.
We have to be in the Word, actively involved in the Word of God. The question is your path today, led by the Word or by the world? By the ways of the Word, world, or the ways of the Word? Ways of the Word. Proverbs 4, verse number 26. It says, Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Where is our path at today? What path are we led by today? The Word of God, or is it by the way of the world? We must choose to study the Word of God. That is our own free will as a born-again believer, that we have to make that choice. Go back to Joshua 23. The first choice concerning the Word of God is we have to choose to study the Word of God. The second thing in verse number 7, in Joshua 23 and verse 7, not only do we have to choose to study the Word of God, now we have to choose to stand on the Word of God. Brings up a topic of standards. It brings up a topic of being where we need to be according to the Word of God. In verse 7 it says, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their God, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves to them. We have to be standing in the right place. And this is all about the Word of God, as Joshua has given this message unto the children of Israel. Every born-again believer, we are called to be loyal to this Word right here. We're called to be loyal to what God has put in our hands today. We are called to stand firm on God's holy Word. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The love of the Father is not in him. The question is, where does our love's loyalty stand today? Is our loyalty to the Word of God today? We can rightly love things in this world. We can rightly love some things that are in this world today. However, we can also wrongly love some things that's in this world today.
Yep.
So where our love stands is where our loyalty is going to stand. Where our loyalty is going to stand. We can biblically love and enjoy the blessings of God. I've preached this and taught this to our people enough that they understand it is not wrong to have a brand new car. It is not wrong to have a nice brand new house. It's not wrong to have things in this world. There is nothing wrong with the things that are in this world. The Bible tells us when Timothy was being taught by Paul in 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 10, a very famous verse that we quote often would be, love not, or for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. When that's taught or when that's preached too often, it may point to the fact that we can't have money. Well, that's not what the verse is saying. The verse is saying the love of money. If we look at verse number 17, it says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but, look what comes after the but, in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to what? To enjoy. Money is for us to enjoy. Blessings are here for us to enjoy. Some of the richest people throughout all of history are found in the Word of God. Solomon, the richest man ever, he made a lot of mistakes because of money and where his love for money ended up. And love of money is where the problem's at. My point is that our love, we can love things in this world and still be loyal to God. But when our love becomes the things of this world over God, that's where our loyalty is at. And when it came to the children of Israel, their loyalty was shifting to the other gods. They were shifting to the things of this world. They were shifting away from the Word of God. Our loyalty is where our love literally lies today. As soon as our love for this world keeps us from the Word of God, as soon as our love for the things of this world keep us from the house of God, then we start to see, where does our loyalty truly stand? Our loyalty now has shifted from the love, the one that loved us, the one that eternally saved us, to the one that loves us simply for temporal gain. The devil loves you today. He wants you for his temporal gain. His temporal gain, he can't get out of hell.
That's
his
right.
Temporal gain today is to have you be ineffective for God today.
Yep.
And as soon as our love goes to the things of this world, the loyal to this world, we get away from the love of this, the Word of God. We get away from standing on the Word of God. We've lost any hope of being able to have joy and rejoice in the Word of God. And the devil is the winner. He is the victor over it all. We need to stand for God. We need to stand against our sinful past and against the things of this world. Our conversation that was in our past. When Joshua 27 verse 3, he said, neither make mention of the name of their gods. We need to stand against what our past was. We stand against our conversation, who we were in the past, and we must change the things in our life. We have our loyalty towards our things of the past. He says, nor cause to swear by them. Our participation in the things of the past, he said, neither serve them. And our commitment to the things of the past, nor bow yourselves unto them. There is one that we have to now become loyal to. If we want to be able to properly study the Word of God, then we have to stand upon the Word of God, and this is going to lead us to be rejoicing in the Word of God. The day is coming when everyone will stand exactly where God commands them to stand. Today we have a free will. You have a choice to study. You have a choice to stand. That your free will is not going to get rid of the salvation that you trusted Christ in. You can't freely give that up. You've chose to be born again today, but our sanctification is our choice today. That is a choice we have, but one day you'll no longer have that choice. One day you will stand before God without excuse. Romans 14:11 says, "For it is written, as I live, thus saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me." You won't have a choice. You will stand for God. You will study what God tells you to study. Amen. You will bow before God one day. You will not have a choice whether I want to come to church or not. Every tongue shall confess to God. It's going to happen one day. We will be forced to be exactly where God commands us to be. Between now and then, you are given a free will, given a choice to study, given a choice to stand, and God promises us rewards if we yield our will to the will of God. We have to stand for God. We have to praise God. And he then will stand for us. In Isaiah 59, in verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. When we stand for God, he said he's going to stand for us. When we stand for God, he's going to stand against the devil for us. We resist the devil, guess what? He flees from us. But we can only resist the devil in one way. That's through the word of God. Standing on the word of God. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you. You don't stand for God, he's not going to hear you. You stand with God, he is then going to stand with you. The point is, God can and will stand firmly by our side, but he does this according to our choice, whether we choose to stand with him or not. We must choose to study the Word of God, and we must choose to stand on the Word of God. Go back to Joshua 23 and verse 8, the third point. We want to get to rejoicing in the Word of God. We have to make the conscious choice to study. We have to make the conscious choice then to stand on the Word of God. The third one, we have to choose to stick to the Word of God. Sticking to the Word of God. Yep. Joshua 23 and verse 8, it says, "But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day." Every believer is called to study. Every believer is called to stand. Now every believer is called to cleave unto the Word of God, no matter where it leads us to. That word cleave means stick. It means to follow hard. It means to overtake. That's what the Word of God is going to do for us. Look in Romans chapter number 12. This morning we looked in verses number 1 through verse number 8. I want to read verse 9 through 21. And I'll explain a few things as we go through. And we're going to clearly see a lot of details involving this word cleave. This word cleave is something you have. If you've done what the message was this morning, you've set aside self and your pride, you become submitted to your church membership, you now are seeking after the will of God. As we do all of this, it's all about the Word of God, and we cleave to the Word of God. Verse number 9 says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor," that means just hate that which is evil. "Cleave," here's that word cleave, and what are we to cleave to? That which is good. What's the only good, best good thing we have here upon earth? This is the Word of God. The only good thing that was on this earth was Jesus Christ.
Yep.
We have the Spirit of God in us. He's living in us today.
Yep.
But the one thing that he has entrusted us with right here, our fallible hands, our fallible flesh, is the Word of God. We need to be where we're supposed to be for God Almighty in our study, in our standing, and now sticking to the Word of God. Paul now, he tells us how to cleave to the Word of God, or that which is good, in verse 10 through verse 21. In verse 10, he says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring or esteeming one another. Not slothful," that means not lazy in business, "fervent," that word fervent means to be boiling over, "fervent in spirit, serving," we talked about that this morning, that means being a slave to the Lord, "rejoicing in hope, patient," we need to be patient, that's to maintain a belief or course of action in the face of opposition, As we stand on the Word of God, guess who's going to stand against us? Satan, the flesh, society, our three enemies, and us being our own worst enemy. We have to have patience in tribulation, continuing instant, that means being devoted in prayer, distributing to the necessities of the saints, given, which means run swiftly in order to catch something, given to hospitality, blessing, which means praising them which persecute you. And that word, the word persecute, is the same word as given, which means we need to run swiftly in order to catch up with those that are persecuting us, not running from them, but catching up to them. Bless them which persecute you. Bless, encourage, bless and curse not. That means utterly detest. Don't utterly detest those that are persecuting us. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend. That means to accommodate, associate with, to men of low estate, which means low social status. Be not wise in your own conceits, which means don't be self-centered. It's not about I, me, and my pride. Verse number 17, recompense, that means to reward to no man evil for evil, but provide, and that means have regard for things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, sometimes it's not, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge, and that means to justify or defend not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome. That means don't be conquered of evil, but overcome evil with good. Verse number 10 through verse number 21 tells us how to do verse number 9. This is a clearly laid out, a lot of details involved in cleaving, this one word cleave, and that's what we need to be doing to the Word of God. We need to be cleaving unto what God has for us today. Why work so hard to cleave? Because we're at war with an enemy. Our worst enemy is ourself. We're at war against Satan. We're at war against society today. Our enemy today is trying their utmost to get us to let go of God's Word. Joshua, he saw his people letting go of God's Word. He was reminding them, study the Word of God. Choose to make that study. Choose to stand and stay on the Word of God. And now you need to stick to the Word of God. Our grip needs to be tightened in our areas today. Our morality, our standards, everything about us. We need to tighten our grip today to be a stronghold on the Word of God. As we study and as we stick to the Word of God, it is going to lead us into battle. You're going to end up in a place that you never thought you'd be there, but we can trust God as we go through that and rejoice in the Word of God as we go through the battles of this life. We're talking about Jeremiah, and just like Jeremiah, our battles will be great and they will be strong. You stand on the Word of God, the battles will be strong. You can't stay faithful to the house of God, your battles are going to be great and they're going to be strong. There's going to be some battles that you're going to think you can't stand by. That was Jeremiah. You're going to have some battles that you're going to fail. That was Jeremiah. We're going to have battles where we think we're being chased by that enemy to the uttermost parts of this world. That's exactly where Jeremiah was at. Yet, because if we get to cleaving to this Word of God right here, how God tells us to cleave to it, He promises He's going to fight the battle for us. Go back to Joshua 23 and verse number 9. Joshua 23 and verse number 9. If we do our three points now, we choose to study the Word of God, we choose to stand on the Word of God, we choose to stick to the Word of God, it's going to stick us in the middle of that battlefield where we think that we have absolutely no hope, but if we continue to cleave to the Word of God, He promises to fight the battle for us. Joshua 23 and verse 9. For, and that word is therefore. If you're a student of the Word of God, when you see a therefore, what's your first thought? What's it there for? We already studied that in the last few verses. So for now, based upon us choosing to study, us choosing to stand, us choosing to stick to the Word of God, for the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000 for the Lord your God. He it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised you. All we have to do is what we're commanded to do. Be in the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. Cleave and hold tight to the Word of God. It's going to throw us deeper into the battle, deeper into the strong grips of this world, of our enemy, ourselves, society, and Satan. But as we do that, we are promised of God that he is going to fight the battle for us. One of the Israelites chased down 1,000. I don't know if you've chased down one, but have you ever chased down one or two? We chase down one or two with the Word of God, or they may be chasing us. But how about 1,000? Because we have done what God has commanded us to do. He stands strong and mighty in our stead. He chases down the enemy for us. He fights the battle for us, and he promised this to us if we cleave to him and to his holy word. We have to stand. We have to study. We have to stick. And it draws us down to Joshua 23 and verse 11, where it says, take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. This is a choice that we have to make. We have to choose to serve God. And we're only going to do that if we truly love him. We only love him because he first loved us. But if you're a born-again believer, as I showed this morning, you bursted out of the seams. It just busted out your love for God when you trusted him as Savior. It bursted out. You just wanted to be in the Word of God. You wanted to tell someone. You were instantly a soul winner. Soul winning doesn't require a memorization plan. It doesn't require a 12-course study to be a soul winner. It just requires you giving somebody the Word of God that you accepted. Let God work in it. And you wanted to do that. You didn't know how. You just wanted to tell someone, I got saved. I know the Lord. And you got all kinds of opposition thrown into that battlefield, did you not? And when you got into that battlefield, the only way that you survived was if you would study, if you would stand, and you would cleave to that word that was bursting out of the seams that saved your eternal soul. Matthew 23 and verse number 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. We cannot stand serving God, nor being in the Word of God, nor being in the house of God, nor being around God's people, then we don't love the Lord thy God. And if you don't love the Lord thy God, you'll never be able to rejoice in the Word of God if we don't love him. If we love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, then you will choose to study, not passively hear this message I'm giving to you, but taking what has been given to you by God Almighty and going out and studying it, proving whatsoever things are true that I have just presented unto you, studying actively the Word of God. Then when you see what God has given unto you personally, you stand upon the Word of God. And as you found where you need to stand, cleave onto that. Because you need it. You're going to have it in the midst of the battle, knowing that God will be the one to fight that battle, to fight the battle for you. We will stand, we will study, and we will stick to the Word of God from the inside out, from the depth of thy heart, and from all thy soul, and from all thy mind. To do this, we must not hide God's Word in our heart.
Yep.
You're hiding it in your heart this week. You got several memory verses based upon the Word of God. You're hiding his word in your heart today. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against him. It gives us victory over sin. It speeds up our sanctification process. You want to get right with God? Start memorizing scripture. You want to lead someone to the Lord? Start memorizing scripture.
Yep.
You want to choose to study. You want to choose to stand. You want to choose to cleave to the word of God? Guess what? Start memorizing scripture, and it's going to take you down that path that God has for you. And as we saw this morning, it's called the perfect will of God. You know the will of God right now. You will stand before God without excuse. You know right now the will of God is choose to study the Word of God. You don't go home and study the Word of God, you're out of God's will. You don't stand on the Word of God, you're out of God's will. You don't cleave to the Word of God, you're out of God's will. God has just given it to us from his Word. You know the will of God right now. We need to get to that perfect will of God. That means you need to be memorizing this, hiding in our heart, and taking every step that God places before us. Choosing to serve God is all about us choosing God's word over the devil's world. And the 3 points to this evening are, study God's word, and not this wretched old world. Stand on God's word, not this wretched old world, and stick to the word of God, not this wretched old world. There's a lot of things in this world that we can rightly love and we can rightly enjoy. We can rightly have holidays. We can rightly have a good car, a good house, and a lot of things that God says he gives them to us richly that we can enjoy. But then if we're not careful, we step back to where Paul told Timothy that the love of all these things becomes at the root of all evil. We want to not be stuck in the root of all evil. Get stuck in this right here. Get stuck in the word of God. When Jeremiah did this, he was able to rejoice in the word. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. He did eat them. That's a powerful thing to do. He was eating the word of God. And what powerful results he had as a result of that. With these thoughts, now bow our heads, close our eyes, go to the Lord in prayer. Do business with God. We'll have another message in a minute. The invitation will come up. Pastor may have an invitation right now. But as you ponder the word of God with your heads bowed and eyes closed right now, do you know that you're a born-again believer today? I don't think I've asked that question yet. Have you taken that first step to be in the will of God and trust him as personal Savior? You know that. You know whether you have or not. And as you are a born-again believer, have you chosen to step into your sanctification process? Have you set aside yourself? Have you become a church member? Are you seeking after that grace to be able to be in that measure of faith to serve him with the gift that he already ordained you to be serving in this church with? It's a choice of yours and your free will to be born again and your free will now to be serving God. And tonight, in the Word of God, when's the last time you truthfully studied the Word of God? Opened it up to study to show yourself improved. It takes labor, endeavoring. It takes diligence. It takes us being forward, being purposely getting into this, not passive in the house of God, not passive into teaching the Word of God, but literally in the Word of God. We need to stand on the Word of God, study it, and now stick to it and cleave to the Word of God. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your Word and the power of your Word. Lord, the power unto salvation, but also now for those, a majority possibly born again here, if not all, Lord, that we would have the power of the Word of God in our sanctification process. I pray tonight, Lord, that we would choose each one from the pulpit all the way down to the pew to earnestly and honestly study the Word of God, to stand on what we do study and what you do give to us, whether it cuts against our own grain, the grain of the flesh, what we've been taught in the past, whatever it is, and the Word of God is what gives that we would stand upon it and then cleave to those things that we can win the battles against self, against society, and against Satan, who's doing our utmost to release our grip off of your holy word. Lead us through the rest of the message through the night tonight, and we pray that through it all that you would get the honor and glory as you touch hearts, convict hearts, and your children tonight will be responded to your Holy Spirit. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Let people say
amen.
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 Praise the Lord. What a beautiful message is that. Study the word of God. Study, stand,